Pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Now, I gotta be honest with you, my mind kind of works in mysterious ways. Funny, I was just sitting there preparing, listening to the theme song as we come in there, and I thought of Cool Hand Luke. Cool Hand Luke. I'm an optimist by nature, folks. I'm an optimist by nature. And I just happen to think that good things are happening on the horizon. I'm excited to be alive today. Can I tell you that? I'm not a doom or gloomer. What we have here is failure to communicate. I'm not a doom or gloomer. I couldn't think of any more time in American history and world history than I would want to be alive than right now. For those of you who are tuning, I'm sorry, that catches my cord back here on my chair. For those of you who are maybe tuning in for the first time or tuned in for the first time last week, welcome. We tear down idols here. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to tear down some idols. And one of the great frustrations that I've had over the last couple, this is our second Sunday broadcast, is to see. Hey, listen, if you're going to tune in, then you're just going to have to take it as I give it to you, okay? I'm just going to take it and give it to you the way I see it. I'm disappointed, although I had suspicions of it, I'm disappointed by how dependent men have become on their pastors. It's childish if you really want to know the opinion. That men who are supposed to be guiding their homes, directing their families, are not even able to lead their families in spiritual disciplines and spiritual worship when church is canceled. Now, I'm not going to go into the whole debate about why church is canceled, whether or not it should be canceled. But this Christianity is not welfare. It's not Christian welfare. It's not go to church every Sunday and get your milk from the teat. That's not what it's supposed to be about. And unfortunately, we are finding that so many Christians and so much of Christianity is so shallow that we think we have to go to a building in order to worship the Lord. Hey, folks, we are the body of Christ. We are the church. We are. And the job of our church leaders is supposed to be to train, to equip, and to immobilize the saints for the work of the ministry. Not just come to church on Sunday, get yourself a little bit of bread and a little bit of nourishment, and then go home. If you turned in here today, for me to tell you what a brave little Christian you are, and that it's all going to be okay, and the sun's gonna come up tomorrow. The sun will come up tomorrow. Wrong place. We don't do that here, folks. It's not what we do. We're here to train, to equip, and to mobilize, to teach you to stand on your own two feet, to be spiritually mature, to engage the forces of darkness, and represent the kingdom of God that we claim to represent. That's what I'm going to get into here in a minute, the kingdom of God. And I had a lot of requests. A lot of people wanted me to do a lot of different things. And this is the one I've kind of settled on here today. I'm wondering, do I have a volunteer out there who'd lead us in prayer? So anybody willing to come in and say, Coach, I'd be glad to do it here today. I'd be glad to do it. My beard's growing back. I've got white spots on it. No, my nose isn't running or anything like that. It's just the way what the lights do. Who will lead us in prayer? Somebody just jump in here and do it.
Hey, Coach, I'll do it. This is Gary in New York.
Man.
Okay. Father God, I just thank you for the opportunity for us to be able to gather here this morning. Lord, I thank you that the church is something, something that who we are, not some place that we physically have to go. And Lord, we just thank you. I thank you for this ministry called Pass the Salt. I thank you, Lord, that we can gather in this zone and talk about a wide range of topics and challenge our thinking. But above all, Father God, we pray for the opportunity to grow in our depth and our knowledge of you and what it means to walk out in faith and obedience to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Gary. Gary from up there near Syracuse. I can never remember the name of your town, Gary. Thanks for joining. Hey, folks, I'm so excited this morning because all we have to do is look around and see that the Lord is mightily at work. Now, stop a minute. Is it okay if I do this for you? Can we all stay away right now from end-time theology? Can we all stay away from opening up our Bible and say, you know, Coach, I was looking right here, and this is what it says it's going to happen. Okay, I'm not going to talk about that, okay? If you don't understand that we are living in times like we have never seen, I don't know what to tell you. But I'm not going to be here, and I'm not going to point out to you the signs. If you don't get them, then that's up to you. But here's what I see is going on and why I am so excited this morning to be alive and to be a Christian and to thank God that I was born into the kingdom for such a time as this, to be here right now while all this stuff's going on. Can you guys not see the idols that are being torn down? Can you not see it, folks? Let me just run down through a few that we talked a little bit about some of them last week. You know, we talked about the NFL and the NBA. The NFL, they're probably not going to have a football season. You understand that, right? They're going to have a draft, but they're probably not going to have a season. The NBA canceled right in the middle of their season. The NCAA tournament canceled right in the middle of their season. Major League Baseball hasn't even started up. Hollywood's all of these idols that are being torn down. Can I tell you another one? I'm sorry, I got to be the one to tell you. A lot of these huge, huge mega ministries, these huge – anybody know those big mega ministries that are open? Dr. Rodney Howard Brown's open down in Tampa Bay. I saw he's still having service today. Are some of the big ones around? Kenneth Copeland having church services today? Lakewood Church, Joel Osteen, they having services today? And see, what's happening is God is tearing down these idols of ministries and ministry leaders because we are all ministers of the gospel of the kingdom of God. We're supposed to be, although we haven't been taught that. We don't understand it. That's what we do here. So I thank God that what I see going on around me is just, it's exciting. Kids are back. Are you kidding me? Kids are back home with their parents. Parents are now having to train their children again, not the government schools. You mean kids are learning that in their homeschooling that they were created in the image of God, not in the image of a monkey? Are you kidding me? You say, Coach, are you anti-science? No, I'm pro-truth. I'm pro-truth, right? And so the reason that we're in the mess that we're in is because we as Christians, we have not been equipped. The pastors, our churches have not equipped the saints for the work of the ministry. Time out a minute. If you tuned in for me to tell you how brave you are, go someplace else. Okay, go someplace else. Because I'm going to try to explain to you where we are and what is important and how you can be more effective in your Christian life. I want to stop a minute because I always want to give people an opportunity to say something, maybe something pertinent on their heart. The Lord's put on their heart. So I'm going to pause. Anybody have anything they want to say right away? And Jared, while they're doing that, I want you to pull up for me, Jared, Matthew chapter 3, I believe it is. Anybody come in real quick? I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. Kind of ebb and flow is how we do it here. Yeah, come on in. I'm sorry.
Coach, this is Polly. I just want to thank everyone for all the prayers. I finished my chemo this week. Praise God.
Awesome, Polly. Awesome. Thank God. My earphone troubles. All right, go ahead.
Hey, Coach. Denny here. Remember me? just want to let you know, even though I'm sick and I'm probably what would be classified as a high risk, we're having Bible studies. I'm doing it every day in my house. They're coming. And two people's already accepted the Lord, and they're on fire. So there we go.
Great news, Denny. Great news. Jared, I said Matthew chapter 3. I think I meant Matthew chapter 4. Let me see if I'm in the right place. There it is. Matthew chapter 3, Jared. Go there first. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. I want to show you guys something. Folks, to me, this is essential to the Christian walk. It's essential. I may have to change earphones here. This one is almost doing me no good. Let's see. Somebody say something. See if I can hear you.
Hello.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. I don't know what's up with this other one. Good. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. pull that up there, Jared, because I want to make a point to everybody here. This is where we're going to go today. Matthew chapter 3, verse number 1. Hey, listen. Some of you ought to be taking notes. You ought to at least have your Bible out. I know this far archive is going to be there, but something about when you read it. Matthew chapter 3. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What? What's the kingdom of heaven? Does he tell people they're going to die? And saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, or imminent, or close by, right? And then Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, just a couple chapters over, verse 17, go there, Jared. Jesus preaches his first sermon. He's been out, been tempted in the devil. And all of a sudden we find him coming out and he's preaching his first sermon. Go ahead and you can read down through there. It was a time of temptation. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, didn't we just read that? Isn't that what John said? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what does Jesus say when he starts preaching? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Huh. What's the kingdom of heaven? Have you ever thought about that, my friends? What is the kingdom of heaven? And I think if we find out, you'll be curious, if you're curious and you want to find out, you begin to do a word search and begin to study this out. You're going to be surprised that Jesus doesn't talk so much about salvation, and a lot of the gospel isn't about salvation, but it's about the kingdom. About the kingdom of God being here now. The kingdom of God is here and now. Say, come on, coach, what do you mean? Well, Jared, let's do this. Jared, pull up the world's most famous scripture of all, John chapter 3. Just start right there, Jared. Because Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. And he's been watching Jesus operate for a couple years, 2.5 years maybe at this point. So there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, that came to Jesus by night, said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher because come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. And Jesus said unto him, hang on, dude, he says to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There it is again. See the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, what are you talking about? I can't go back in mom's womb. Jesus said, no, man. I say unto you, except you're a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, are they talking about heaven here? Are they talking about heaven? Is the kingdom of God heaven? Where is the kingdom of God? You say, Coach, what are you talking about? I think this is important for us to understand, folks. I think it's important for us to understand where the kingdom of God is. Jared, go to the kingdom of God, God questions. It's 1, 2, 3, it's fourth thing down. Anybody? Hey, you're allowed to pipe in here anytime you want to. Sorry about this cord hanging on me. What is the kingdom of God? I go to this website a lot. Now you understand, folks, that when you go to a website online your theology is going to matter. When you go to a website, the website of the people that you're reading matters. In other words, their end time theology. Do they believe in the pre-trib, a post-trib, a mid-trib? How do they believe this whole thing's going to come down? So you have to be careful when you go on that you're going to run into some things maybe that don't perfectly line up with your theology. Okay, but don't take it personally. We're here to throw the meat on the table and discuss it. So I go to this one a lot. It's called Got Questions. And the question is, what is the kingdom of God? Well, the answer. The kingdom of God is referenced often in the Gospels, and then it gives you all the places that it's referenced. And then other places in the New Testament, Acts and Romans and Corinthians. Stop a minute, Coach. Thank you. Friends, listen. The four Gospels are written to the world. The four Gospels, when Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wrote the four Gospels, they're written, it's Jesus' attempt to evangelize the world. The epistles are the evangelization of the church. The books of Acts and Thessalonians and all of the epistles are written to Christians. The Gospels are written to the world, okay? So you don't find a whole lot of thick theology in the four Gospels. Okay, stay with me. It says the kingdom of God is synonymous with the kingdom of heaven. The concept of the kingdom of God takes on various shades of meaning in different passages of Scripture. Stay with me. I'm taking you somewhere. Bear with me. Broadly speaking, the kingdom of God is the rule of an eternal sovereign God over all the universe. That's the kingdom of God, right? The Bible, it tells us in Isaiah chapter 9, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, and of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. All right? So several passages of Scripture show that God is the undeniable monarch over all creation. Whether you are a Christian or not, he is king. Whether you accept it or not, he is king. Whether the government acknowledges it or not, he is king. Bible says the Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over everyone. And as king, Nebuchadnezzar declared, his kingdom is an eternal kingdom. Every authority that exists has been established by God. So in one sense, the kingdom of God incorporates everything that there is. I want to stop a second. I'm going to ask somebody. Can somebody tell me something right now that God is not in control of? One thing.
Our free will, Coach.
Our free will, our ability to choose whether we're going to enter into the kingdom. I'm going to talk to you here about that. Is he in charge of the government? Is Jesus over the government? Is Jesus over the schools? Is Jesus over Hollywood? Is Jesus over the NFL? Is Jesus over the NBA? Is Jesus over your life? Is he over the church? Is there anything that God is not Lord over? His kingdom is eternal. Every authority that exists has been established by God. All right? Staying with me? But more narrowly, the kingdom of God's a spiritual rule over the hearts. Jared, I'm going to pause there. More narrowly, the kingdom of God is a spiritual rule over your heart and your life. Of those who willingly submit to God's authority. Those who defy God's authority and refuse to submit to him are not part of the kingdom of God. Let me pause right here again. I'm sorry, I'm kind of redundant saying pause. Folks, if you're not born again of the Spirit of God, we talked about that last week, then you are not connected with the kingdom. The kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. It's not a natural one. Although God is over the natural world, his kingdom, we know this, right? What did this, what did Jesus say? My kingdom is not of this world. Now, time out. Did he say his kingdom doesn't control this world? Did he say my kingdom doesn't operate within this world? Or did he say my kingdom is not of this world? He didn't deny that there was a kingdom. He said my kingdom didn't come from here. My kingdom came from a different place. In contrast, Jared has down there, in contrast, those who acknowledge the lordship of God, Christ, gladly surrender to God's rule in their hearts, become part of his kingdom. Okay, now, hang on. I can't tell you how little I care about the coronavirus. I'm not worried about the coronavirus at all. Not at all. Oh, I'm concerned about people. I don't want to sound cold-hearted. I don't care that people get sick. They might. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not concerned about the coronavirus and what might happen to me. Why? Because, folks, I already live in a different kingdom. So what? Yeah. Through the Holy Spirit coming and dwelling me and taking lordship of my body and my mind. Remember we talked last week about the mind, the mind, the will, and my brain went dead. Our emotions, right? I am now subject to, through the Holy Spirit, a different ruler. I'm not afraid of death anymore. Why? Because I'm already part of the kingdom. When they went to Jesus, where would I find that here, Jesus? Jesus, Jared, click on where is the kingdom of God? Where is it? Where is the? Is that someplace that we go, friends? Do we just paddle around in this mucky old world that we're in now and then hope that someday we get to go to heaven? If that's true, then why did Jesus come? And why did the John the Baptist supposed to say the same thing? The kingdom of God is at hand. Luke 17, 20, verse 21 says this. When Jesus was demanded of the Pharisees, Jesus just healed a guy. And they said that the Pharisees didn't like it. The natural world Pharisees who couldn't understand kingdom things, invisible things. They didn't understand that through the Holy Spirit, Jesus is already connected to another kingdom. Already connected. Not going to another kingdom. Already connected to another kingdom. The Pharisees said, how'd you do that, dude? How'd you do that? When the kingdom of God should come, they asked Jesus, when should the kingdom come? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth. When shall the kingdom come? Jesus said, neither shall they say, lo, here, or look, there it is. There's the kingdom of God. Or it's up behind those clouds, or you go there when you die. No. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. What? The kingdom of God, folks, is within you. And when you get the Holy Spirit in you and you're walking in this kingdom of God here and now, not in the by and by, not in some by and by. When I received the Holy Spirit of God, I entered into the kingdom. Jared, go back to Nicodemus. Go back to that John 3. Jesus said to him, verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born of water, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So folks, evidently, maybe it's just me, I can enter it now. Jesus says, that which is born of flesh is flesh. And that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say to you, you must be born again. Nicodemus says, you're just an old flesh. He said to Nicodemus, you're just an old flesh body. And you're operating off the lust of the eye, the pride of life. You're just going around just trying to, that man suit. You're just trying to please that man suit. He said, I got something bigger and better than that. The kingdom of God can come down and live inside of you. And it can change everything you do and everything you see. The kingdom of God is within. Wow.
Amen, Coach.
I'm thinking here. So what makes up the kingdom? Jared, click on that. What makes up the kingdom? Folks, listen. This is why I am not afraid. I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid to die. All power has been given unto Jesus, both in heaven and earth. Here are the characteristics of a king. Now, I want you to think about this, okay? As we think about the king, the kingdom of God being within us, the kingdom of God is within us. Here are some characteristics of a king. Do you think, when you think about the Lord, do you think of it this way? A king is never voted into power. He is king by birth. And is God, is Jesus Christ King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Is he? Do we in the church say he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Yes, we do. Why? Because he's king by birth. Wait a minute. Is he king now? And if he's king now, what are characteristics of a kingdom? What does any kingdom that you go to, what does a kingdom have? Well, it has rules, regulations. It has soldiers. It has an economic system. It has minister. Everything that you would see in a natural kingdom, the kingdom of God already has. We are already in the kingdom of God if you have the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus stood before Pilate and he said, "Are you a king?" Jesus says, "Yeah." And he says, "Well, don't you know I have the power to crucify you, set you free?" And what did Jesus say? "Dude, you don't have any power over me." Why? Jesus was representing a different kingdom. And so are we here and now within us. Number two, a king is a king by birthright. His kingship doesn't come from a man. We don't make him king. He is king. We just acknowledge his kingship and his lordship in our life. Folks, if he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords and all power has been given unto him, both in heaven and earth, then what situation is he not in control? Is Jesus Christ king of the coronavirus or not? Is Jesus
Amen.
The coronavirus, could it be for judgment? Could it be for correction? What could it be? And you know what's being revealed? We're seeing a lot of Christians. You better hear me. We're seeing a lot of Christians and a lot of big churches whose kingdom is in this world. They're in this world. Their God's not outside in the, not the Holy Spirit inside. Oh, they may think it is. They're not serving the Holy Spirit. Number three, a king cannot be voted out of power. Prince Harry, he decided to give his away, but he can't be voted out. He was king before the war began. He'll be king after it's passed away. He is King of Kings. He's eternal king here and now. I hear somebody. Is that you, Mark? Somebody come on in.
Dave?
Yes.
Oh, I was just going to say, it's funny how we hear so little. This could be God's judgment. Nobody wants to deal with that. Nobody wants to say that. They want to say it's all man-made and something's going on. But would we not be wise to think, could this not be his judgment upon our nation and the world? My goodness, that needs to be in the discussion.
Do you punish your children, Roger, when they misbehave? Well,
absolutely. Yes.
Right? So judgment,
it has to be part of the discussion. You can't just gloss over his judgment at this time.
That's right. Anybody else?
Coach, I tell you this, all these preachers that shut their door, they'd be the last ones that I called to come pray for me if I get sick.
Well, see, that talks a little bit about what I don't know if it was on one of the shows this week or not, Romans 13. Are we to obey ungodly government? I don't want to get into some of this deep stuff because it'll scare some of you away. It just came in for a Sunday morning encouragement. Folks, I'm trying to tell you something. If you're born again of the Spirit of God, this stuff has no power over you. This is the coronavirus. Why? Because if you're born again of the Spirit of God and you get sick, you're either going to go home, which, by the way, would be a good thing. Right? You would be able to get to go home. And instead of Christians, because we're so worldly, we're wringing our hands. Oh, and I heard a guy say yesterday, it was Andrew Street, about blew me away. He said, "Golly, it's looking like the end of the world." And then he said, "Hallelujah! Isn't that the heart of a Christian? Isn't that what we're supposed to be? Rather than doom and gloom and hanging on to this old dying world? Listen, I don't want to die. I want to watch my grandkids grow up. But I know there's another king. There's a king above. There's another king. His name is Jesus. He's the king. Let me keep going. Number four, king's authority is absolute. When the king speaks, he speaks with absolute authority. Listen, the king doesn't care what the Supreme Court says. The king doesn't care what Donald Trump says. The king doesn't care what your pastor says. The king is the king. The king is the king. And if your pastor has not been born again of the Spirit of God and does not have the Holy Spirit in him, you say, what? Yeah, some pastors have never received the Holy Spirit of God. And so therefore, they are operating on worldly intelligence. Oh, they may have an anointing to preach a good sermon. But are they really connected to the kingdom of God? Kingdom of God's within you. Hang on with me. Number five, a king's word is law. Did I just say that? No one can countermand his orders. Babies are children, period. Unborn children are human beings, period. A king personally owns everything. Homosexual marriage is not marriage. Why? King has spoken. King personally owns everything in his domain. And what is the king's domain? God owns everything. He owns the dollars. He owns the dollar bills. He owns the cars. He owns the cattle. He owns the hill the cattle are on. We don't understand this. We still don't understand kingdom authority. And that we are his representatives in this kingdom to occupy what he has put here. That's our job. A king's decree is unchanging. He does not change his mind about gay marriage. A king does not change his mind. A king chooses who will be a citizen. Not everyone's in the kingdom of God, folks. Not everyone. Some of the people you're sitting beside in church may not be in the kingdom of God. Why? Because they have to choose to be a child of God. A king embodies the government of his kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is here because the king of heaven is here. Oh, come on, man. This is good. The king of heaven is here. Why? Because he lives in me. His spirit lives in me. The spirit, the kingdom of God is within. King's presence is the presence of his authority. When the king shows up, his authority is present. Kingdom citizens may always exercise kingly authority because the king is within them. Oh, Lord, help us to understand this.
And thus, Dave and Dave, then we should have no fear.
I can't really hear you, Roger.
We should have no fear.
No fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And what do? We sit around and we wait to see what our elected officials are going to do as if they are representing the kingdom. They're not representing a kingdom. They're representing a kingdom that is trying to steal the real kingdom. They're operating lawlessly outside the kingdom of God. Come on, Christians, see this. Oh, my goodness. A king's wealth is measured by his property. The kingdom of heaven owns everything, everywhere, both in the natural world and in the supernatural world. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords everywhere you go. A king's prosperity is measured by the status of his citizens. A citizen of the kingdom of heaven automatically prospers because the king of heaven is the wealthiest of all. This is not about name it, claim it, not about money. This is not what, if you're making the kingdom of heaven about money, you are totally, completely missing the boat. Verse 13, a king's name is the essence of his authority. Jesus, folks, those of you who watch the show regularly know that I say this. I wear my hat. Because there's something about the name of Jesus. See, it's the name of Jesus that's above every name. It's that the name of Jesus that every knee shall bow. Not God. Not God. There's a lot of gods. There are a lot of gods. There's only one king, and his name is Jesus. And so his delegated authority was given to his children, to his subjects. He promised to do anything they ask in his name. Boy, this is good. A king's citizenry represents his glory. Kingdom citizens are to reflect the character of their king, who is righteous, just, benevolent, compassionate, and full of glory. And could it be what we are seeing in America, although everybody's telling us how much God wants to bless America, could it be that God's looking down on his children, who should be his representation in this lost and dying world, this kingdom, these kingdom citizens looking down on us, and he is not pleased what he sees, and he said, you know what I'm going to do, boys? I'm going to separate me some sheep and some goats, and we're going to get down to who really is part of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is within. I'm going to shut up a minute to give somebody a chance to come on in.
Coach, I want to say, talk about the one on the authority on number 14, I think. Jesus, when the centurion came to Jesus and he had the servant that he loved was sick, dying, and Jesus said, yeah, well, that's a long ways away. And he said, no, you don't have to come. J- Just speak the word. And Jesus looked at him and he said, "Well, I haven't seen any greater faith in all of Israel." This was a Roman. And he said, "Because you understand authority, you're coming under my authority right here, right now. That's faith." Coach, there's something about coming under this kingdom and being under the authority. There is a faith that comes with this. I'm telling you, this is powerful.
Randy, yeah. We don't understand, unfortunately, folks. I don't have the answer for it. Somebody asked me the other day. I'm sorry, I'm rolling on my cord again. I'm getting a little excited here. Sorry. Somebody asked me the other day, said, "Well, if God heals everybody, then how come some people don't get healed?" You know what? "Nevertheless, thy will be done." I don't know. I do not know. But the fact that I don't understand it doesn't change the lordship of Jesus. Doesn't change it. Bible says his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. There's a way that seems right to us, but it don't make sense to us. I don't know. Why doesn't Jesus heal everybody? I don't know.
Dave, it's very simple. He is God. Period.
Amen. Amen, Roger.
He is God. Period. I am not.
Amen.
Amen, Roger.
Amen.
But we want to be known. And we don't know why. But listen, remember this, folks. His kingdom's not of this world. See, our lives are not supposed to be, even right now, especially right now, our lives are not supposed to be about this world. So what? He takes away some money for us, from us. So what? Things get tough. So what? Like, his kingdom's not of this world. I'm not of this world. I'm just passing through. I'm his ambassador here. All power's been given unto him, both in heaven and earth. Why, if everybody wants to go to heaven, why are they so worried about going to heaven? Because we're so
amen.
We're so earthly minded. We're so heavenly minded. We're no earthly good. God is in control of all of this stuff. Hey, how many? Wouldn't it be something? What if the public schools collapsed? What if next September nobody sent their kids back to the government schools? What if churches, instead of being closed, what if pastors and churches right now were getting together and organizing free, yes, free Christian schools to anybody who wanted to come? What if that opportunity is before us right now to be able to do that? What if right before us we have the opportunity to do away with this ungodly taxation system, the system of taxation that is destroying lives, making women leave their homes to work? What if all these things are coming up for a reset, and we as the church, instead of we as the church saying, "Thank you, Lord, let me move into that gap, let me move into that vacancy, Lord. Let me expand the kingdom in education. Let me expand it in the home. Let me expand it in business. Let me expand the kingdom." What if the Lord is tearing these idols down and these kingdoms down so his people can rise up kingdom-minded and begin to, once again, invade the entire culture?
Amen, Coach.
Hey, Coach, may I say something?
Please do.
About 18 years ago, I heard a voice, believe it or not, and I went to pastors about it because I was so curious about it. And the question, what I heard was this. I said, is it possible when Jesus Christ died on the cross that he made it possible that we could walk with God as Adam and Eve did in the garden before they sinned? That's what kind of communion we can have with God Almighty now.
Denny, spiritual communion, right?
Exactly.
Spiritual communion. The kingdom of God is within us, folks.
Amen.
It's within us. Jared, pull up Romans chapter 5 real quick. Romans 5 verse. How many of you did this? Stay right there. Folks, think about this. How often is this the prayer of today's church? Romans chapter 5. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Wow. Hang on a minute. Does that mean we don't have peace with God if we don't have Jesus? Hey, what? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace? You mean without Jesus, we don't have peace with God? Whoa. By whom also we have access by faith into his grace right now, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Watch this. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation. What? When's the last time you gloried in hard times? We glory in tribulation, knowing that the tribulation worketh patience. Is God doing something in Christians' hearts right now? Is God tearing down idols? Is he taking away that prosperous way of life that we all live, where we run to ball games and we go watch videos, we go to movies, and we're doing everything except God? Is God working patience in us? And do we know that his patience brings experience, and his experience brings hope, and hope maketh us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us? For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Do we understand where we are right now? We should, folks, we should be thanking God for what's going on in America right now. We shouldn't be sitting around praying, oh, Lord, get our dollar back up, Lord. Get our dollar. Make our dollar strong again, Lord. Oh, Lord, make us friends with the Chinese. Oh, Lord. No, no, no. Jesus said, I came to bring a sword. I didn't come to bring peace. We're looking at the whole thing backwards, folks. We're kingdom people. We're kingdom people. We are. Ambassadors, we are passing through this natural world with the kingdom of God inside of us. Am I making sense out there today?
Hey, Coach, we're here to occupy. Return. We're here to occupy. That doesn't mean sit around, do nothing. It means occupy.
What does that mean, Vinny? What does that mean to occupy when we hear that? Occupy till I come. See, we get halted between two opinions. See, we can't figure out whether we're to occupy or whether we're get ready to be evacuated. We don't know which one of these two things we're supposed to do. And I think if I read the scriptures right, and I don't care what I'm going to keep doing this back and forth. It says in when it's talking about two working in the field, one's taken and one not left. Wait a minute. They're working. They're working in the field. They're not sitting around in their prayer closets praying for the rapture. No, no, no. They're working. And as they're working, one's taken. Now, we can argue which ones are taken. Is it the good guy or the bad guy? We can have that debate. I'm not going to do that here because this is a theology-free zone. But we look around at what's going on. Could it be possible right now that God has pulled down all the idols and saying, now, my people, arise and be the church? And you look around, churches are closed.
Hey, Coach.
And hang on just a second, Larry. And one of the reasons some of them are closed is because, can I tell you something? They don't have anything to offer the people other than prosperity and happy talk, because the kingdom of God's not within them. Go, Larry.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned about parents having an opportunity to raise their children the way they should go because the indoctrination centers are closed. Well, I've already started here locally, via the internet, you know, social media, getting in touch with what officials and things I know from my political days. And I've already started planting the seed that when this thing is over and things are trashed more than we have a concept of how trash they're going to get right now, I believe, there are going to be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of families looking for a place to live. And guess what? You've got all of those indoctrination centers sitting right there with a classroom that's just about the right size for a good-sized family. And why, out of the ashes of what we come up with or what we have when we go through the other side of this thing, why build new stuff to take care of these families? Just put them in the schools, do a little bit of renovation, and keep the indoctrination sessions out of them for good.
So, folks, we have to begin to think kingdom-minded like this. Can I tell you something? Jared, pull up Fruits of the Kingdom there. Folks, listen. I believe this. I've never died. Yes, I have. I died to self, tried to fight it every day as we all do. It's just, you know, we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. I don't fear death. And here's what I think happens to the born again believer. This is what I believe. That death is just another birth experience. I want you to think about this a minute. When you were born, you were in your mother's womb. And you were laying in your mother's womb, and the older you got, it was so comfortable in there. It was warm. You could suck on your thumb. You could run a little bit, move your feet. You didn't even have to get up and go to the bathroom. It was just so good. And then all of a sudden, something violent happens, and the environment that you're in begins to shake, and all that water that you're floating in gets running out. And the next thing you know, boom, you pop out, and you look around. So what? As you enter into the world, is it possible that death is the same experience? If you're born again of the Spirit of God and you die, that you pass through another veil into a new realm that you never knew existed. And anybody you've ever heard talk about a near-death experience, they all say the same thing. They didn't want to go back. But you have to have the kingdom within you now. So therefore, when you die, you're just passing from one into another realm. It's a classic example of a new birth. See, it's already happened to me. I've been born again from above. And so when my gestation period's done down here and the Lord's done with me and they do that thing called death and I die, boom, show, I'm in a better place. Why don't we think like that? Why don't Christians think like that? Why have we been so deceived to cling and to claw and to hold on to this world? I was doing a little bit of cleaning down here in the basement the other day. I'm going to get there, Jared. Hang on just a second. I got
hey, coach.
I got old pictures. Hang on, Gary. I got pictures hanging on the wall and all that stuff. And I said, you know what? When they stick me in the grave, my kids are throwing all this stuff away. It's just junk. All this stuff I'm hanging on to, it's just junk. Duh. Wake up. Come on, Gary.
Yeah, I just want to draw attention. I don't have it in front of me at the moment. That verse where the Apostle Paul says, you know, I wrestle because between departing to be with the Lord, which is better by far, though in this case he chose, his, you know, to be here on this earth because he's ministering to the churches. But he says that to depart from this earth to be with the Lord is by far better. We tend to gloss over that particular verse.
Yeah, if I had my druthers, I'd be out of here, man. I'd be out of here. Okay, so hang on with me because I want to make this really make sense to you. Book of Galatians, okay? I want to read down through the whole thing, but I want to show you the dichotomy, the problem that we're having. Jared, let's start. Let's see. Verse 4 of Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to show you the Spirit of God within you. Listen, the kingdom of God, Jesus said himself, is within. Romans, I'll pull it up here in a second, says the kingdom of God is not meat or drink. It's not food. It's the kingdom of God is not natural things. The exact same thing that Jesus said to Nicodemus. It's not flesh. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. We don't even understand what the kingdom is. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law. He said, if you're counting on the law, the natural law, you have fallen from grace, for though the Spirit waits for the hope of righteousness by faith, stay with me. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. He said the natural stuff, it does not impact the spiritual thing. Doesn't. The faith which worketh by love. You did run well, he said. But who hindered you that you'd stop obeying the truth? What happened to you? That you started out good and you were running real good and then you got real religious. You got real religious and you got real political and you got, yeah, you got caught up in all that stuff. He says, this persuasion cometh not of him that called you. He said, that's not from the Lord. And then a little bit of that leavens the whole lump. He said, I got confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whoever he be. And I, brethren, if I preach circumcision, he's talking about the law, okay? Law. Let's go on down, Jared, because I don't want, there it is. Then I say, walk in the Spirit. Folks, that's kingdom. Walk in the kingdom. And you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You walk in the kingdom, and this natural world's not going to be controlling everything about you. He said, can I show you this? He says, for this natural world lusts against the Spirit. These two things are fighting inside of you, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of man. They're fighting. There's a battle going on inside of you. And because you haven't been born of the Spirit of God, you struggle with sin that you can't get delivered from because you're trying to do it in your natural condition. You can't do that. But Jesus said that the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And they're fighting one another so that you cannot do what you want to do. Folks, you cannot. Jared, underline that word. You cannot. Not won't. You don't have the power to defeat the carnal man. You don't have that power. You cannot do it. That's why we hear of what we thought were religious guys who end up falling in sin. We say, how could that happen? Because he was never again born of the Spirit of God. He never received this. He was just trying to discipline himself to do what was right. He was trying to act like a Christian. But it says, here's the good news. If you're led of the Spirit, kingdom principle, kingdom of God within you. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. What law? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. What's the law of sin and death? The soul that sins, it shall die. What? If I'm led of the Spirit, I'm not under that law. In other words, if I'm led of the Spirit, I don't have to do all those things I did. I don't have to do, what does it say? Adultery and fornication and uncleanness and lasciviousness and idolatry and witchcraft and hatred and variance and emulations and wrath and strife. I don't have to do that? Are you kidding me? And envies and murderers and drunkenness and revilings and such like? You mean I don't have to do those things? Watch, of which I tell you before, as I've told you in the past, that they which do such things shall what? Not inherit the kingdom of God. There it is. But the evidence of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. I got peace. I ain't worried about the coronavirus. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Hey, dudes, against such, there is no law. Why? Because you're in kingdom principles. Kingdom principles trump natural principles. Oh my God, I feel this so deeply. Somebody come on in. We don't know this. If we live in the Spirit, verse 25, let us walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, I try to live in the Spirit. I try to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to tell you something. Joy, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance.
Right, Coach. It's real simple. Remember the celebrity thing that happened a week ago? Right. At the very end, Natalie Portman says, it's an act of empathy. An act of empathy is not empathy. It's not the real thing. We want the real thing, Coach. This is the real thing, not an act of it.
Folks, listen. The kingdom of God is within you. It's within you. If you have, I talked about last week being born again in the Spirit. Hey, I don't care how long you've been in church. I don't care. I don't care if you're the guy takes the money. I don't care if you're the guy counts the money. I don't care if you're the usher that greets everybody when they come in. I don't care if you're out in the parking lot doing, if you're the guy out there, if you are not born again of the Spirit of God, if you have not had a spiritual transformation in your life, if you have not received Christ spiritually, the Holy Spirit of God inside you, you are powerless in this natural world. You're powerless. We don't teach that in the church. It's all happy talk in the church, that you can feel this. And if you just can believe this, and why can't you just believe this? Because you're not walking in kingdom principles, because you've never entered into the kingdom of God. It's available to you right now. Walk. Folks, if the Lord told you, if Paul told you to walk in the Spirit and you can't do it, he'd be a liar. He'd be a liar. He said, if you walk in the Spirit, you'll quit looking at porn. What? Yeah. 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 You'll quit looking at porn. You'll quit smoking cigarettes. You will. Not that cigarettes send you to hell. You eating too much? Well, you walk in the Spirit and you'll stop. You have the ability to stop it. The Holy Spirit has the power to give you victory over all of these carnal desires that you have, over every one of them. And you have the power to get the victory over. And see, if we preach that message rather than going to heaven, dudes, I'm already in heaven. I'm still trapped in this suit. Paul said, who will deliver me from this body of death? So get me out of here. Get me out of here. But as long as I'm here, I'm going to serve you with all of my might. That's the gospel message.
Amen.
Yeah. Come on in.
Oh, that was just an amen.
Folks, listen. We're not hearing this in our churches. Right now, I'm looking at you. Raise your hand if you've ever heard this teaching before. Raise your hand. That's what I thought. We're trying to get kingdom principles without the kingdom. How can you possibly do that? What did Jesus say? What did he go about preaching? The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Do a Google search and see how many times he talks about the kingdom of God. Kingdom principles. Walking in the kingdom. Walking in the Spirit. The Spirit is the connection to that natural, that real kingdom up there. Thy kingdom come. Thy real will be done. Where? In earth. On earth. Here. Here. How can I do that, Lord? How can I do that? Got to access the Spirit. The Holy Spirit. No, I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about accessing the Holy Spirit of God, falling on your face, calling out to God in repentance and forgiveness for the way you've lived your life, and to say, Lord, I didn't even know that you could live in me. I didn't even know what that meant. But no, you know, now that Coach has been talking today, I know what you're talking about. Lord, I don't understand, but I want that. I want to be delivered from this body of death. I want to walk in power and victory. I want to be able to do that. It's righteousness, peace, and joy. Lord, I want righteousness, peace, and joy in my life. I want to live in that realm. I don't want to live in this other. I don't want to live in this coronavirus world. I don't want to live in that. I want to live in the kingdom. I want to live in it right now.
A lot of people that are listening right now, they've heard the scriptures. They've seen the presentations of a quote gospel from behind a pulpit. They know that confess Jesus with your mouth and you shall be saved. But they better read the scripture says confess Jesus as Lord with your mouth. There's something about it, folks. If you don't make Jesus your Lord, he will not be your Savior.
Folks, you're not going to stand before the Lord with your pastor beside you. I'm sorry with my computer going off over here. Your pastor isn't going to be standing beside you when it happens. Your wife isn't going to be with you. Your mommy ain't going to be with you. You are going to stand before the Lord on your own with the deeds that you've done in the flesh. Now, if you've received Christ as your Savior, then as far as the East is from the West. Oh, Lord, don't have time to say that. Folks, listen. Salvation is this. If you walk in the courtroom and you charge, whatever it is, you're charged with running a traffic light. And you go into the courtroom and the judge hears the case. And the judge says, Coach Dave, you are guilty of running that traffic light. $100 fine. There's a crime committed and a price to pay. And when he says to me, you owe $100 in court costs, Jesus, who is my attorney, stands up in the back of the room and says, Your Honor, I would like to pay his fine. I paid it already. You understand? See, it's not that your sin is forgiven, although it is. It's paid for. It's paid for. Those are not the same. He has forgiven your sin, and he has put your sin on his bill. And he paid the bill. And then, once you get out of court and you're so happy, you go up to him and you say, man, thank you, Lord, for paying my bill. And he said, oh, great. Don't do it anymore. Don't do it anymore, all right? Unbelievable, isn't it? What an unbelievable concept. We don't live in a world of guilt. We live in a world of victory if we're born again of the Spirit of God. That's the message we have to speak. Seek first the kingdom. You know what it says? Seek first the kingdom. And then all this other stuff be added unto you. In other words, if you seek first the kingdom, all this other stuff's not going to have your heart. God bless you. Have a great week. Walk in victory. Receive Christ and his Holy Spirit. Walk in victory. We'll see you next week.